Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, do what you can with what you have where you are. We appreciate the opportunity of coming your way with Bible Meditations. Once again, it's a great privilege to be able to study from the Word of God. I know that the Bible is a book that some people make fun of today, and there are a number of people who say they don't have time to give attention to what the Bible says. Yet when all is said and done, the Bible is the book that is given by God for us to learn how to be saved and how to prepare ourselves for a home in heaven. It's an important study, and therefore we're glad to be able to come your way with our Bible Meditations program. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to you about signs of spirituality. Do you remember the record says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace? That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. All of us, then, ought to be concerned about being spiritually minded. The contrast between one who is spiritually minded and one who is carnally minded is one that can be observed by looking at a person's life. In the Galatian letter, chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul points out the fact that Christ lived in him. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. To have Christ living in us is something that can be observed by those who are about us. If someone were to appraise your life and say concerning the way you've lived, the things that you have done, would they say this person has been spiritually minded, or would they say they have been carnally minded? Well, all of us would want someone to say they've been spiritually minded, because that's what has to do with our going to heaven after a while. Therefore, we need to be able to see the signs that would help us to understand a person is living a spiritual life. Now, we did that in regard to Mary and Martha. As we read in the book of Luke, chapter 10, both of them, very close friends of Jesus, and when Jesus came to their house, one was concerned about taking care of him and seeing to it that he had what was needful for the body. And on the other hand, here is one who sees an opportunity to hear what the Lord has to say. And so Mary chose the better part. Now, there's nothing wrong with Martha seeing to it that the house is in proper order, or maybe that a meal is prepared for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, but Mary had spirituality written all over her when she said she wanted, first of all, to hear what Jesus had to say. We also noted that with reference to one woman that you read about in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. The woman's name was Dorcas, or Tabitha, and this is a woman who during her lifetime used what was in her hand, what she was able to do, to help people round about her. When she passed away, family and friends gathered together, mourning her passing, but they also had signs in their hands of the spiritual nature of this woman named Tabitha. What had she done? She used a needle and thread. She sewed and made garments for them, and so she was remembered because of it. The sign of spirituality, then, is that when we have opportunity to do good, we do the best we can. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 25, starting about verse 14, the account tells of a man who gave to his servants talents according to their ability. A piece of money was given to them, and they would be held responsible for the use of that money that was given into their hand. One man was given 5 talents. He had greater ability to use those talents than the others did, so he was given five. Another man given two talents, and then a third man given just one talent. The man with two talents and the man with five talents, both of them used their talents to the best of their ability. They gained five more or two more, respectively, and so the man with one talent had to account for the talent that he had been given. When he begins to account for himself, he begins pointing that the master is an austere man. He's a man who reaps where he has not sown, and a man that he had some fear of. Therefore, he just took the one talent and buried it, did nothing with it. If someone were to ask you which one or two would represent spirituality, would you say the man with one talent? I don't think so. I think obviously we know the men who used their talents are the ones who were showing the signs of spirituality. You and I have opportunities, different abilities, different opportunities, but we must use those opportunities to the glory of God. Now, God doesn't require that we do more than we're able to do, but He does require that we use the abilities that we have. Therefore, a sign of spirituality is when a person does service to other people and is concerned about the welfare of others. The Galatian letter, chapter 6 and verse 10, says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith." According to our opportunities, we ought to be serving our fellow man. Another example of the signs of spirituality that we can see very clearly resides in a man named Peter. Peter, of course, was one who said, "I don't know Jesus." In fact, he did that three times. The Lord had told him, "Peter, you're going to deny me, and then the cock is going to crow, and that will remind you of your denial." Well, of course, Peter just was not pleased that something like that would be thought of him, and so he wants to turn away from it. But the occasion arises when the Lord is taken by his enemies, and Peter is asked about whether or not he's a servant. His reply was this, "I don't know the man." Well, of course, that was not right. And then later again, he was asked about it. And a second time, he said, "I don't know him." A third time, he said, "I don't know him." Now, as you look at those three denials, does this mean this is the end of Peter? Is there no spirituality in the life of the Apostle Peter? Well, look at Pentecost. Look at the day you read about in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Here's a man who had said, "I don't know Jesus," but what was he doing? He was standing before an assembly of people who had crucified the Son of God. Jesus had been put to death by these people. Was he going to say, "Well, I don't know him, I want no part of him"? Or was he going to show that even though we make mistakes in life, we can turn around, we can change our life? Aren't you glad that Christianity provides for us the opportunity of change? What if our past life was so fixed that we couldn't make any changes, any additions, and it would have to be just that way? That would be sad, wouldn't it? Because all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. But is God forgiving? Will God take away sin that we repent of? And the answer is very clearly, yes, He'll do that. But it depends on our repentance. Luke 13 and verse 3, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish." There is no hope for any of us unless we're willing to repent. Repentance means we're going to change our mind about our conduct, and it will result in changing what we're doing. Matthew 21 gives an example of that. A man told his son to go work in his vineyard. He said he would not, but he repented and went. Well, we'll take this up again tomorrow, the Lord willing. We hope you'll be with us. And remember that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.